in Washington, D.C. during the bicentennial. They were, you know, trying to figure out everything that happened back there in the past. And what they were trying to do, they had a group of professional people there, and they were trying to figure out, if, as best they could, as to what profession they thought would be most noble. And the problem was that every professional person that stood up and talked thought theirs was. They hear the next one, and he thought theirs was. You know, I mean, they were just making no progress, and the MC didn't know quite what to do. He says, you know, this wasn't exactly our goal, to everybody give a little glorification speech on his own profession. And well, pretty soon after some time, a preacher stood up and he had a Bible and he says, folks, the Bible is the most accurate history we have of mankind. And he says, what I think we should do is open to the first and start reading. And the first profession we come to is probably most noble because it's first. Well, the MC says, we haven't had any really good ideas yet, and that's probably the best we've had. And everybody was kind of wary. He says, well, you have a Bible, why don't you just start reading and we'll go along with that. So he, you know, started reading, came to Adam and Eve, and, you know, no profession's mentioned. So he kept reading, came to Cain and Abel. Now, no profession is mentioned, except it does say that when he brought a sacrifice, when they did, one brought an animal and the other brought the fruit of the ground. So they concluded from that that probably one was a farmer and one was a rancher. Well, a farmer stood up and gave his little spiel as why being close to the dirt's good for your soul and that stuff. And the rancher gave his little thing about the cows. The MC says, now, folks, we appreciate this, you know, the progress we made, but we were looking for one, and we have two. And another guy put up his hand, and he says, I'm a physician. And he says, I think really we passed over something when we were reading. It says that God took a rib out of Adam to make Eve. And he says, if you analyze that, that is a very technical operation. And the farmer says, oh, yeah, he's the head of me. The rancher says, you bet, right? So they said, terrific, we're down to one. So another guy put up his hand, and he says, I'm an architect. And he says, when we started reading, it says, the earth was without form and void, and chaos was upon the face of the earth. And he says, now if you see all these galaxies stretched out in absolute order, you know, down to the smallest electron, proton, neutron, he says, you know, that is the most amazing architectural feat of all creation. In fact, that is creation. The doctor says, oh, yeah, man, he's ahead of me. And the MC says, terrific. There's nothing before that, so it looks like it's the architect. Except the politician stood up and says, who do you think created that chaos? Now, I know why you laugh. I understand back there in Kansas you have the best politicians money can buy. Is that right? That's what I heard. I didn't know. I just heard that. So, you Oklahoma people can relax because it hadn't happened there yet. Now, you know some of them, I see. Oh, yeah. Well, we talk about success and we talk about faith. You have to look at the Bible because there's a very significant verse on this. In fact, it's almost above every verse if we have a desire inside of us to please God. And if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Hebrews 11:6, please? Hebrews 11:6. Somebody guess it. It is on faith. Hebrews 11:6. I'm sure most of you are familiar with that verse. And it says this. I'm an old navigator, so I have to quote it from the King James because that's what I started with. And I'm not smart enough to click that over to another translation. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Then it says, for he that cometh to God must believe some things here. He says, number one, you must believe that God is. Number two, it says you must believe that what? God is a rewarder. And then it says he rewards those who diligently seek him. Well, when I found that verse, when it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, I thought, we better work on that. And I started thinking, let's see, every time that you teach any groups of people any information, it's always easier if you systematize it. Because the navigators, they try to teach people how to memorize scripture, and they have the topical memory system. Campus Crusade try to teach people how to witness, and they have the three spiritual laws. And, four? You have the gift of helps, brother. Thank you. You get mixed up. The nine commandments, the three laws. Four laws. Okay, I mean, it's hard to keep all that. Thank you. It's good we have some of the gifts manifested here in the group tonight. I always appreciate that. So, but As I was thinking about this, I thought, see, what we need is a practical faith system so you could figure out every week whether you're doing something. The topical memory system, Jim Morris comes around and sees if you did anything, right? Where's your verse? You know, is that right? So you can check out. But I thought, that's what we need, a practical faith system. The problem is I found another verse. It says, if it's by sight, it's not by faith. I thought, ooh, that's bad. You know, I thought as soon as I got a little system going, it wouldn't work. You'd trust the system instead of faith. So I thought, well, you can't get a system because that's not right, or something's wrong with that. So I thought, there must be some principles in the Bible on how to live by faith. And I think there are. And now, this is not just the matter of faith in general, the faith of the gospel. We're not talking about that. We're talking about how, as a Christian, you can accomplish things in your life, in the life of your family, and the life of the people around you, by faith. That's what we're talking about. So I thought, there are some principles, and I think there are four. And just to give you don't need to write that. I know you navigators, you write down everything even before I talk. You just relax your pencil a little bit. Here's where we're going, right here. Hebrews 11:6. I'll give you a little outline as to where we're going the first four nights. Hebrews 11:6 says this, that you must believe right here that God is the resource of your faith. Secondly, it says you must believe that God is a rewarder. I think those two things right there are the two basic principles of things that you must believe to do anything by faith. Now, we'll take tonight and we'll talk on this one. What it means to make God the basic, or to believe that God is the resource of your faith. Tomorrow night we'll talk on in what areas God rewards you. And then as we get together the following night, because I think there's two other principles on the matter of what you do. Everyone wants to know, what do you do? In fact, if we had a question and answer time after this session, which we're not going to have, 95% of the questions on what do you do? Where the Bible, the weight of the Bible is totally, almost 100% on what you believe. If your belief is right, what you do just falls in line. See, right doctrine does make right living. So, for two whole nights, we're going to spend on what you believe. That's where we're going to go. And we're going to start on this matter of making God, or believing that God is the resource of your faith. Now, that's a good place to start when you talk about success, because God knows a lot about success. He's pretty successful. If you're going to learn about success, you might as well pick a good one to follow. I can't understand why people read books about General Lee. I mean, he was a good guy and all that, but he didn't win the war. You know, you might as well get one who really put it in the bag totally. So, if we start with God, we're on the right track. Now, see, to believe that God is, God's a lot of things. I mean, if we were to say here, name some things that God is. In fact, let's do that. If we say, God is, tell me some things that God is. God is love, all right? Holy. What? Eternal. Perfect. Creator. A rewarder. You got that? That's good. Most people don't get that. All right? In fact, I used to keep track of how long they'd come up with rewarder, and with college students, it was an average. We'd get 23 things down before they'd come up with that. Couples would be 15. Servicemen would never come up with it. I don't know why they don't think about rewards or something. You know, they're purer than we are, or something happens.
I don't know if you want to mention this, but God is jealous.
Okay, God is jealous, all right? Say that in more practical terms. Okay, the revelation of God or something, all right? And what? Spirit, all right? God is spirit, right? Just? Sovereign? How many would you think we'd have? I don't know. Hundreds, thousands if we had that. See, God's a lot of things. But as we see that, see, on all these things we have about God, if your concept of God is your faith. Now, if you could reach in your head and pull out here your concept of God and look at it, you are looking at your faith. You say, wait, your concept of God, I'm more confused than when you started. All right, let's talk a little bit about your concept of God. Let's say that you...
God is. Now, how does that fit with...
Oh, yeah, okay, God is, but we have a lot of other... Hold on to that a minute. There's always somebody getting ahead of me, see? He looks at my notes, see, and then he... We will come up with that. All right, now, see, as we see that, God is inexistent is what really the word means. But as we look at the Old Testament, it's a lot of other things. Now, as we see the Old Testament, God was trying to teach the children of Israel something. In fact, you can't really say this from the Hebrew, and I don't try to. I graduated in agriculture, so if any Hebrew words come out, they didn't come from me, because I don't know any. But from the Hebrew, God's first name was Jehovah. What was his second name? Jehovah what? What? Elohim? I heard something else. Jireh? What, God get a little mixed up here? Couldn't remember what his last name was? Or what's the deal? Yahweh? Oh, we got another one here. The I Am? How come so many here? What's the deal? I mean, just I thought we'd come up with one. No, that's right. There's a lot of them. In fact, see, when God was teaching the children of Israel, when they came up with major decisions in their life, or they needed something, he would add a new name on there, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Elohim. You think, why did he do that? He was trying to teach them this. Each one of those words had a meaning. When they needed shepherding, he says, I am Jehovah Rohi, or Jehovah the Protector. When they came to provision, someone mentioned here, he says, I am Jehovah Jireh, or Jehovah the Provider. When they needed food, that's where that came up. When they needed victory in battle, he says, I am Jehovah Nisi, or Jehovah the Victorious One, or the one who will win the battle for them. And when they needed peace, he says, I am Jehovah Shalom. When they needed instruction, he says, I am Jehovah Hardname. Well, you guys don't know how to pronounce it. How many know how to pronounce that? I don't either. Agriculture, remember, I graduated. So whatever that is, right, that's what he was when they needed instruction. Now, the whole thing was that he was trying to teach the people this. I am whatever you need. See, that's why our focus has to be on God. See, it says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Mark 11:22 says that directly. Have faith in God. We go around talking about have faith. That doesn't mean anything. See, it's have faith in God, who is the total sufficient one. Our problem here is this. We think God's name is I was. It's not. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, it's I am exactly today as I was back there, and I will be in the future. God does not change. And so, whatever we need, God is. Now, as we see this, let's say this, our concept of God. Let's say that we believe that God can't or won't hear. Either way, whether he can't hear or he won't hear, how will that affect your activity if you believe that God can't or won't hear? What will you do or not do? Yeah, you won't talk to him, you won't ask him anything. What if you believe that God can't or doesn't speak? What's going to happen to you? Yeah, you won't listen, you won't hear anything. What if you believe that God is in need of help? You try to help poor old God out. He is old, you know, and he has been around a long time. See, and a lot of people really need poor old God needs help. How many of you have been doing something in your garage or in your kitchen and your neighbor kid has been over there trying to help you and you didn't want their help? How many of that happened? You say, I think I hear your mother calling. Or, you know, or some profound language. You know why? Because, see, someone over to help you and you don't want help or you don't need it, fouls you up, right? Didn't foul them up, fouls you up. See, a lot of people are going around trying to help God. He doesn't need help. Now, see, that's why our concept of God has to be exactly what the Bible says he is and what Jesus was. I was at a camp down here about 100 miles, a Young Life camp. It was really nice. I walked in the cabin. I thought, ooh, this is a nice place. You know, I was really done up. But I went around the corner, and it was dark in there, and I looked everywhere, and I couldn't find that light. You know, the walls, you know, you feel the walls, everything. I looked overhead. I just couldn't see a light. I couldn't find a switch. I thought, boy, for a nice cabin, they ought to put a little light in. I couldn't figure it out. And so I unloaded my stuff in the dark trying to figure it out. But they did have a super system. They had a little speaker by the bunk. And I thought, hey, that's terrific. Because how many of you have been to Bible camps where the only communication system is the loudspeaker? Will Joe Smuts please come to the dining room? And they repeat that. How many have been to camps like that? Yeah, right, okay, you know about that. I thought, they have figured this out. And so I mentioned that in the meeting. I said, really terrific the way they figured out this communication system. A guy put up his hand and says, Russ, that's not a speaker, that's a light. You know, I went back to the cab and pushed that little button. It looked exactly like a speaker. On came the light. Now, what was the problem? The problem wasn't in the design. The problem was they didn't have lights. The problem was totally in my head. I thought that was a speaker, and so I was in the dark. Literally. Now, there's a lot of people exactly like that today in their Christian life on the matter of faith, because their concept of God is turned around. It is not what the Bible says he is. Now, just to bring this little thing up to date here, I have a couple lists. If we had a complete list here, under God is, I don't know how many things we'd have. The first one you mentioned also was God is love, he's a provider, he's merciful, he's good, he's a physician, he's unfailing, the same always, all-knowing. Guide, creator, faithful, forgiver, savior, shepherd. Oh, on and on. Hundreds of thousands of things. But if we were to make out a list over here on this side of everything that you and I need for physical life and for godliness, we likewise would have a long, long list. Because we need food and clothes and health and joy and acceptance, guidance, money, shelter, salvation, the Holy Spirit, comfort, and 10,000 other things. But you know what? If we had a complete list here written down of everything that God is, his character and his attributes, and a complete list over here of everything possible we could think of from the day we're born until the day we die, for spiritual needs or for physical needs, there is no possibility whatsoever of putting something on this list that there's not a corresponding supply over here. Isn't that terrific? See, we need food and clothes. That's easy. God's provider. We need health. He's a physician. We need joy. Uh-oh, we goofed. Oh, no. It says what? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. God says, hey, you need joy. I'll just give it to you as one of my fruits. By my Spirit. He says, you really need that. I'll make sure you get that. Or come on, we need acceptance. It says you're accepted in the beloved, talking about Christ the Savior. You need guidance. He says, I will guide thee with my eye. We need money, pure means of exchange. You know, he says, I'm a provider. We need shelter. Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Shelter's mentioned. We need salvation. He says, there's salvation and none other, talking about Christ. We need the Holy Spirit because we need power. God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's God. We need comfort. He says, hey, you need more than that. He says, I'll send the comforter. Isn't that terrific? In fact, I've had groups try to add things, come up with stuff here, and there was always somebody who could think of an attribute or character of God that met it. Now, that's why, see, our faith has to be in God. Not God plus something, not something plus God, not any of that. And we'll get into that because, really, that's the thing that has to change. If we're going to do anything by faith, if we're going to see God change us, in fact, if your thinking about God changes and lines up to be exactly as God is, you will change automatically without effort. In fact, people say, how come when some people get saved, some people, you know, they really change. You think, whoo, you changed overnight. Other people, it's a process. No, I think the one difference is, if the Holy Spirit, the night they get saved or the day they get saved, really enlightens them about himself, they change a lot. If they get a little bit of enlightenment about God, they change a little. All getting in the Bible, whether scripture memory, Bible study, hearing, preaching, is to enlighten us about God. And I've seen people change from one week to the other as Christians, drastically. In fact, people in the class think, they talked about, they said, woo, boy, did he ever change last week. And the only thing that changed wasn't effort, wasn't anything. His concept of God changed. And he changed immediately. Because, see, our concept of God really affects what we are and what we do. Now you say, where do you get all this? You sound like a shrink. You know, because they kind of talk like this, your self-image, and right? They try to line all that stuff up. There's something far more important than that, and that's your God image. Would you turn to Psalms 135, please? Psalms 135, 15 through 18. You might as well keep me to the Bible this week, because if we're not biblical, it's not going to work anyway. Psalms 135, 15 through 18. Does anyone have the New International Translation here? Anyone have that? Oh, good. Do you want to be the New International Translation reader? No. Oh, you don't have, who had it there? Who's got it? Over here. Would you read that, please?
The idols of the nations are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths that cannot speak, eyes that cannot see. They have ears that cannot hear, nor is their breath in their mouth. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all be trusted.
Good, thank you. I'd like to read that to you if you'd listen from the living. It says this, the heathen worship idols of gold and silver made by men. Idols with speechless mouths and sightless eyes and ears that cannot hear, they cannot even breathe. Now listen what happens. It says, those who make them become like them. You think, oh yeah, those dumb people making gods like that. Listen to the next thing. And it says, so do all those who trust in them. Whether you're a native in a jungle, go down, hack down a tree, make a little god or a stone and worship it, you think that's pretty bad. Or if you trust in a god different than the Bible says he is, it says you become like that. Isn't that tragic? No, you see, that's a good word. It's a good word if it's right. It's a tragic word if your concept of God is wrong. In fact, around the country, around the world, you can almost analyze countries in their standing in the world today as to their concept of God. Let's take India, just one example. See, India, there's no reason under the big blue sky as to why India shouldn't be as prosperous as we are. They're in the temperate zone exactly like we are. They have an agriculture base for their country exactly like we do. They're smart people, meaning they're not jungle people, they're developed people. And there's more people today starving to death in India than all of the rest of the world combined. You think, why is that? It's too bad. That's right. They have the wrong concept of God. And that's far above everything else. I mean, we could talk about nirvana and meditating on meaningless words and all that, but let's don't talk about that. Let's just talk about one thing they have. Basically, they're Hindus, and they believe in reincarnation. And so they have a problem over there with cows. They can't eat them. In fact, if you're growing a garden and some cow comes walking down the street and starts eating your vegetable garden that you're going to feed your family, you can't go out there and kick her out of there. You might be kicking your old grandmother. You wouldn't want to do that, would you? I don't blame you. Like one guy said, he says, I walked by a temple and there was a lady there holding a baby, and what she was doing is picking lice out of the baby's hair. You know, she'd reach up and get one, and then she'd lay it down. And she'd get another, and she'd lay it down. See, she couldn't go over there and munch them. She might munch her old Uncle Ed. And your old Uncle Ed might be a louse. I don't know about your relatives, you know, I don't know. But isn't that tragic? Isn't that tragic that their concept of God has totally kept them in poverty? Isn't that tragic? In fact, today, a country is better to have no concept of God than have the wrong one. In fact, a person is better to have no concept of God than have the wrong one. Because God, from the Scriptures, says that if you believe in a God who can't speak and can't hear and can't breathe, you can't either. Isn't that tragic? If you believe a God is a God of bondage and cruelty, that's the way you'll be. I mean, that's what the Scriptures say. See, I didn't make that up. So we have to make sure, if we're planning on doing anything successful in our Christian life, or in our physical life, or in our family, or whatever it is, our concept of God has to be right. Now let's take the first one you mentioned here. Someone said if we were to say God is, there's one thing in the Christian realm that's far above everything else in our minds. Now, scripturally I don't think it is, but in our minds, and that is God is love. In fact, that is totally a Jewish Christian idea. In fact, that's such a phenomenal idea that there's a new song out now. It goes like this. Buddha loves me, this I know. Heard that? You probably know the tune, because the tune's the same. Isn't that tragic? But see, other religions realize that teaching people that God is love really changes them for the good. But that's totally a Christian idea. Now, we as Christians and from the Scriptures, we know something different than they know. And this. It says, for God so loved the world that what happened? Yeah, He gave. He gave His only Son. We know something. God is a giver. Now, God is a giver. See, most gods around the world are not givers. They're takers. They're demanders. They extract all sorts of things from people in their minds, right? Not the God of the Bible. He's a giver. For God so loved the world that He gave. See, the only way anybody can become a Christian is by recognizing that God is a giver and receive something from God. It says, as many as what? Received Him. To them gave He the power to become the sons of God. If you're unwilling to receive, you're not going to become a Christian. And if you're unwilling to receive after becoming a Christian, you're not going to grow much. Because God is a giver. Now, who does God give to? Oh, yeah, tell me. Who does God give to? No, I'm talking about who, not why. Who does God give to? Who? Those who believe. Anyone who asks. How many says everyone? Let's see your hands. The everyone people. Okay? Well, He does give the rain to the just and the unjust, right? See, general things, I think He gives to everyone. Now, when it comes to specific things, they're not handed out to everyone. Salvation's not handed out to everyone, is it? Oh, it's offered. Only those people who are willing to receive get the specific things from God. That's all that I can see in the Bible. Maybe there's some others, but I don't see them. Only those people are willing to receive.
And even that is a gift.
Well, yeah, we're not going to talk. Hold on to that yet. See, He's read the book. These jokers that read the book, see, they foul me up, see? That's in chapter 7, page 28, right? Okay, now, see, as we see that, we have to be a receiver. That's a tough one. That's tough. Because we don't like that. You say, oh, how many have had this happen? Someone has come up to you, or no, better yet. You've gone up to someone, you really felt burdened, you should help them, and something came to mind you should give them. Maybe it's money, or maybe it's something else you should give them. And so you offer it to them, you know, you feel all warm and gushy inside, and you're all pepped up, and you go give them, and they say, oh, I just couldn't take that. I wouldn't feel right. I don't know what I would say. I mean, we just don't. You say, no, I just, no, well, I'm. And so what do you say?
See if I ever give her anything again.
Oh, you say that in love, of course. But it's true. Right? That really affects you. Maybe you've said that. See, but the thing that we have to do, if we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to grow in faith, if we're going to see God work through us and in us and around us and our family, is be willing to be a receiver. Now, there was a high school kid, actually graduated from high school back in central Nebraska. Here's what happened. Right after graduation, he went out and he bought a brand new trailer house, and he signed $11,000 first mortgage on it. And a little lonely living there by himself, so he went down Sears and signed a $600 note on a new tug-colored TV. And then he started thinking, you know, I really should go to school this fall. Now, if it had been you or me, we'd have said, kid, you should have thought about that before. I mean, if you'd asked me, I'd have told you not to buy that and that dumb TV. Right? That's the way you should talk to kids. They need it. Some of us need it too, by the way. I don't want to just pick on the kids, but I kind of thought that too, except for one thing. His girlfriend's mother knew something. She said, you know, God will get you out of this if you're willing to let him work for you. But you have to be willing to receive what he has for you. Is that right? He says, yeah, that's right. And if you're not willing to receive from God what he wants to do to get you out of this mess, you're not going to make it. She says, yeah, that's right. So he says, God, I'm willing to receive. He talked to his pastor, and his pastor says, well, he said, why don't you bring in the contract? The pastor was meeting with the lawyer. Some way their high lines were going across their property. And the kid told him, he told his pastor, he says, I don't think I should just stop making payments on the trailer, you know, and let it get repossessed. His pastor says, I don't think you should either. I think that's a good decision. So he brought the contract in, and the lawyer looked at it, and he said, hey, he says, tell that guy don't make any more payments on this contract. It's not legal in Nebraska. Well, you know, they talked to the salesman, and he knew it. They took that trailer back so easy, it was like he didn't own it. The color TV, his sister came over and said, you know, I'm thinking about buying a new color TV, and I wouldn't mind buying yours, but I don't think it's any good. It had been worked on 4 or 5 times the first month he had it. So he thought, well, let's see, better help God out. I'm willing to receive God, but probably need a little help here. So he called up the Sears repairman and said, hey, this TV is no good, and I want to trade it for a new one. He said, hey, buddy, we don't trade, we fix. Well, after 4 or 5 times, he sort of wondered. But then he told God, now, God, you know, if you want me to go to school, you're going to have to get me out of this. About a week later, the repairman called, and he said, you know, we have had some trouble with this TV. He said, would you mind if we'd trade for a new one? He said, man, I wouldn't mind, just deliver it over my sister's house. He spent all the last 2 years in Moody Bible Institute. How'd that happen? Easy. He decided to let God work for him and receive what God had for him. That's all. Now we think, ooh, we don't think like this. See, we think this way. We think, oh, I, by my stupidity, got myself in this hole. And then we come to the great conclusion. I, by my stupidity, will get myself out. Well, we don't say that, but we might as well. Because we mean it. Well, don't we? Don't we? In fact, I shared this once, that lady, she rounded the corner here, she says, oh, yeah, but what if we were responsible for getting ourselves in a mess? I said, well, what other possibility is there? I mean, maybe there are some, I've just never heard of them, you know. But don't we go down that, I think, I was dumb, I should have. How? Well, I'll have to work myself out. It'll take a couple of years, but my pure grit all... Right? Well, don't we think that? Quit it. Just quit it. Because that is wrong thinking. See, David says... No, who was it? Jeremiah says, I've mired myself in a pit. No, it was David. And he says, God lifted me out of the pit and set my feet on a solid rock. See, David realized that he got himself in a hole, but God lifted him out. Isn't that terrific? I think the reason that God liked David so much, we have some reasons in the book of Acts as why God took a liking to David, but there's another. In the last verse in Psalms 119, it says this. David was speaking, and he says, thy servant has lost his way. Come find thy servant. That's really strange. See, thy servant is lost. Come find thy servant. I thought, he's not much of a servant. Here's this servant out here lost. But David never changed his thinking about God. See, he realized that God was a giver. And he was a helper. And David never changed. He was always willing to be a receiver. Whether it was forgiveness or whether it was provision, or whether it was for wisdom on how to run the kingdom, or any of that, he realized God was the giver. Isn't that terrific? But see, in all that, that's what God wants to do. But we have to see God as a giver, as a giver, as a giver. Now, let's jump to another. We could go a long time See, in this matter of God being a giver, it says this. The Lord is good. It says that a lot of places in the Bible, like it says that God is love a lot of places. The Lord is good. Now listen to this one. Nahum 1:7 says it this way. It says, the Lord is good, and He is the place to go in time of trouble. Ooh. See, that's different for most of us. If you get into a money scrape, where do you go? The bank? Give me some other possibilities. Savings and loan. What's that? Mom and dad? Your brother-in-law? Right. Visa? Master charge? Right? And every other possibility. Right? See, it says this. The Lord is good, and He is the place to go in time of trouble. Now, it's not that those things are wrong. If God tells you to go there. But make sure God tells you to go there. Because if He doesn't, it takes a long time to pay off those Visa cards. It really does. Now, if He tells you to go there, fine. If He leads you to buy the Golden Gate Bridge on time, buy it. If He leads you to put a down payment on the moon, do it quick with cash. Because He'll help you make the payments. But if He doesn't, you're in for a hard time. It's like a couple in one of the seminars had no idea this was going on. They had money troubles. So they decided between them, they decided to give $25 to a missionary. Now they said, God, we're not trying to buy you off or make a deal with you, but we do need money. Just help handling our money. Because we get in debt and we can't make our ends, you know, all that kind of stuff we go through. And said, God, this is some evidence to you and to us that we're trusting you to help us handle our money. Well, I didn't know this went on. A month later, I was there, and we had a little testimony meeting. So this fellow stood up. He was a drywaller, you know, puts sheetrock, you know, puts that on the wall. And he said, he told us that they'd given the $25. And he said, this week, my boss called and said, hey, my pickup is broken, and would you drive your pickup to work to Hole of Tools? Well, he wanted to work, so he did it. He says, the company decided at the end of the week that they'd pay me 12 cents a mile and $5 a day. And he says, I got an extra $92 in my paycheck. And he says, not only that, he says, the boss's pickup's not even in the garage yet, and looks like I'll get a repeat performance next week. Kind of a good story. Well, I was back there in 3 or 4 months, and I just saw him in the back of the church, and so I asked him, I said, how'd that work out the next week? He said, I don't remember. And his wife said, tell him what the company wants to do now. He said, well, the boss came to me, and he says, why don't you drive your pickup to work all the time, and in fact, he says, why don't you go down and trade your old pickup off for a new one, because we're going to pay you, you know, for driving. He said, what do you think I should do? I said, man, you can figure that out. I don't know what you should do. So I saw him in the summer. I said, by the way, how'd that ever work out with your company and the pickup? Oh, he says, they're making payments on my new pickup, and I let them. Now, see, we don't think like it, do we? We think, let's see, four more payments on this. Boy, I hope this car lasts that long. Let's see, four more payments. Let's see, and we get that. Do you think we could trade this car? Boy, cars have gone up in price. I don't even think this old bucket of rust will make a down payment on the... Whoo, we got trouble. Let's see, boy, maybe we could trade this off on a used... I don't like used cars. Well, maybe we have to. Let's see. Boy, there, most of those used cars we get have big stomachs, and we're not supposed to use gas, and the little ones are so high priced now. Oh, maybe we'll have to drive it longer. Isn't that the way we go at it? Quit it. You might as well put God in there. See, because if you have trouble, rejoice. Listen, the Lord is good, and what? He is the place to go in time of trouble. A couple summers ago, I had a couple here. Interesting. Tomorrow night, we're going to give you all a little assignment, so bring paper and pencil. I gave them the same assignment, and that was this. You don't need to write it down. We'll review it again. That's to make out a list of what you would like to be doing or have accomplished in 3 months if resources were no problem. Well, it's interesting. This guy was sitting over here. His wife was over here. They've been Christians about a year. They're from Des Moines, Iowa. So they had a list. Interesting. The first two things on the list were same thing. I mean, you know, over here, over here. Number one was the salvation of her family, who lived in New York. They live now in Des Moines, and her whole family was back there in New York. Number two was get out of debt. Before becoming Christians, they really got in debt. And that was, they had other things, but that was the first two. Well, I got back to Des Moines, and he was telling me, he was working with that Campus Crusade thing. They had the bumper stickers, the I Found It. What's that called? Here's Life. It was Here's Life, Des Moines. And he said, every time I would pray for that, it'd come into mind, give money. And he says, every time it come to mind, I say, God, now, I think we've talked over this finances before, and I don't have any money. In fact, I'm in debt. He said, every morning it come to mind, give money. Now, he says, every morning I tell God I don't have money. He said, then it started coming to mind, go borrow money to give. I said, wait a minute, God, this way I got in debt to me. I don't think you understand. I mean, that's no good. Now, I don't think that's one of the principles of giving in the Bible. But he says, you know, God kept speaking. He says, so I went to the bank and borrowed $500 to give to Here's Life. He says, God was speaking, I did it. The next week, they got a telegram from her relatives that her father had died. He thought, oh, no, I'm in debt. I borrowed extra money. We have to buy plane tickets to go to the funeral. His father-in-law had been 25 years on disabled Social Security. He thought, uh-oh, we're going to have to cough up some money to help bury him. He thought, boy, I got trouble. He thought, wait a minute, let's see. The Lord is good, and he is the place to go in time of troubles. God, I got more troubles than last week. But he thought, well, you know, really should go to funerals. So he thought, that's God's problem. So he says, we bought two plane tickets to go to the funeral. As soon as they got there, they found out something. His father-in-law had money saved up to pay for his funeral. Secondly, the relatives noticed that they were so changed. And they said to him, who was the brother-in-law or son-in-law, they said, would you say a few words at the funeral service? Well, he was a one-year-old Christian, a little something new, and he thought, well, maybe God's working. And so he said, yes. You know what happened? Five of the relatives accepted Christ in the service and six afterwards. Now, that's not bad for one Catholic funeral. In fact, that's not bad for a Baptist revival. I mean, that's probably better than the average. And they found out something else there. His father-in-law had bought insurance policies on his youngest two kids. And this fellow's wife was one of them. One of the policies they gave was paid up, gave it to him. They cashed it in when they were back there. You know what it's for? $500, the exact amount they'd borrowed for Here's Life. I saw him in the fall. I said, hey, did anything else work out? He said, oh, yeah. When we cashed in the other policy, it got us out of debt. Isn't that terrific? See, they had on their list the salvation of my wife's family and get out of debt. God says, yeah, hey, look at this one, Gabriel. They got a good list on it. How do you think we should do it? Oh, let's see. How about two plane tickets to New York? Now, wait a minute, God. That's not the way to do that. I've tried that. God says, yeah, but I'm telling you to do it now. It's different. Isn't that right? See, that is totally, totally different. See, human means are not wrong if God agrees. But if he doesn't, you got more problems than you had before. And they're going to get bigger. See, God uses human means, but make sure he agrees ahead of time. That's all I'm saying. Now, let's jump to another. You'll probably like this one better. God is a provider. Now, we could spend all night on just pick one of these, and there are thousands of them. God is a provider. You know the verse, don't you? Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of your needs according to your ability to get a job. Oh, no. This group from Kansas. I forgot. This from Kansas. My God shall supply all your needs according to your wife's ability to get a job. Oh, that was a nasty one. That was a bad one. That was a bad one, wasn't it? It's okay. You wives, look over at him. Go ahead. You will after I get out of the meeting. So, now, don't we think that way? We get low on finances. We think, boy, I got to get a job. Boy, I hope this sale comes through. Boy, we're low. I better get another job. Well, honey, I've tried everything I can try. It's your turn now. Now, what happened? Exactly like the world does it. I'm totally convinced today that about 102% of the Christian wives work for one reason. because they do not believe that God can supply through their husband. And I believe that Christian husbands get the second and third and fourth job for the same reason. They do not believe that God can supply through one job, plus some other means he can think up. He does have a lot of tricks in the bag that he hadn't let us know about. How did the children of Israel get fed in the wilderness? What was manna? What was that?
Bread from heaven.
Well, if it was bread from heaven, it says it tasted like wafers and new oil, like a greasy potato chip. No wonder they got tired of it. No, I don't know what it tasted like, but it says that, see? Now, I'd get tired of it too, but it was bread from heaven, and it gives some different descriptions in different places, but how did they get clothes out there, by the way? Well, yeah, now they needed them. Oh, yeah, they didn't wear out, right? Can you imagine the board coming home and talking to their wives saying, honey, we got this terrific idea about clothes out here in the desert. They're not going to wear out. You mean the same dress for 40 years? I don't care. I don't care if they hadn't decided that in the Sanhedrin. It would have never got through the committee at home. Never. I mean, those kind of decisions, you got to talk them over. They wouldn't have thought of that in 1,000 years, 10,000 years. Manna, bread from heaven. They wouldn't have thought that up. Clothes not wearing out. They wouldn't have thought that up, but you know what? They didn't have to. And we don't either. What we have to do is decide that God is a provider. Now, either he is or he isn't. Now, it says in the Bible that he is. That's all. It says that he is, he is, he is. The problem is we look everywhere else for provision first, right? We think, I tried everything. I don't know what to do. In fact, if you've read the book, How to Live Beyond Your Means, there's a story of Paul and Amy. Did you read that story from Lincoln, Nebraska? I mean, they topped it, man. I mean, they had every credit card they had was beyond limits. They had had a consolidation loan, you know, the dollar finance like ABCO or one of those things. Let's see, they'd borrowed from their friends twice. They had every possibility, and they realized, we're wrong. We're wrong. And first of all, they knelt down and confessed their sin for not looking to God first. And a lot of times you only have to look to God only. Now, if you look to God and he tells you to do something else, then go do that. That's it. A lot of times just looking to God and he works immediately. How many of you had that happen? You decide you had some sort of need and said, God, what do you think? And the answer came so fast you couldn't believe it. How many had that? Of course. But see, our whole thing, we have to focus on God, on God, on God, and on God. Who he is, and what he is, and what he wants to be to us. See, like this. It says, and his name shall be called Wonderful. What's the next one?
Counselor.
What does a counselor do?
Advises you.
That's why he advises you. And God is a good one. And not only that, he's free. He's free. I was in Montana, and a lady came up and she said, my husband wanted to buy a new garden tractor, $1,700 from Montgomery Ward's. I guess one of those push kind. Or not push, you know, it's got handles on it. And she says, now my husband's a Christian, but he doesn't know about God working. She says, I told him, please, let's don't buy it. It'll never pay off. We won't raise enough garden. We don't want to make those $89 a month payments. She says, I think he ordered it out of spite. She says, I didn't know what to do, so I prayed, God, what shall I do? She said, God told me, do nothing. Obey your husband. Oh, yeah, obey your husband. Do nothing. So she thought, good. It's your problem, God. If he wants to buy it, fine. If he doesn't want to buy it, fine, because it's not my problem. And if you say do nothing, I'm going to do nothing. Here's what happened. word, they sent out a little credit check. You know, it came 3 or 4 days, so she thought, credit check, doesn't matter. No, she's filling it out. She thought, you know what, answer the mail. So he looked, he said, what are you doing there? She said, well, this credit check here came from Ward's, and I was just filling it out. She says, she told me, she says, boy, I was hoping we wouldn't send it in, because she says, we have such good credit, I knew we'd be approved. She said, but that wasn't my problem. He says, they're checking up on us. Oh, she says, well, I was just filling it out. He says, if they check up on us, I'm going to cancel that tractor order. In fact, he says, would you get on the phone and call him up and cancel that tractor order? She says, whatever you say, dear. A week later, he was looking in the newspaper. Used tractor for sale. He thought, ooh, used tractor. So she says, we went out and looked at it, and they wanted $500 for it. She said, we still didn't have the $500, but he went to the bank, borrowed the $500, and went out there, wrote out a check for him. You know, they took the check. There were a couple moving out of the state. Says, we took the tractor home with us. And she says, it's been 1 year and 3 months, and they've never cashed the check. She says, we got a free tractor. She says, we don't know how to get a hold of that couple. She says, we just got a free tractor. That's better than making payments any day. Now, we don't think it. We think, God, I can't just do nothing. I've got to stand up for my rights. God says, yeah, go ahead, and you're going to make payments for a long time, $89 a month. Isn't that terrific? See, God is a counselor. God is a lawyer. And he's cheaper. Now, free, I think it is. Where's our lawyers? So we got a couple, three of them here. Tell my lawyer joke, Nick, tomorrow night. He's called, what's the word in the Bible for lawyer? Yeah, advocate. Same word as when you in the military we use judge, advocate, same word. See, so if you have that kind of trouble, doesn't mean lawyer's wrong, doesn't mean banker's wrong, doesn't mean counselor's wrong. If God tells you to go to him, but if he doesn't, don't. Because he will tell you what to do, that's all. So this week, as we look at all these things, let's pray that God will reveal himself to us. But most of all, that we'll be able to see God as he is. And as he wants to be to us. That's our whole problem. But that's what we need to pray. So tomorrow morning, when you're in your quiet time, as you read in the book here, How to Love by Faith, pray, God, love is important. See, it's really up there. In fact, talks about love never failing as a means of operating and doing things. Faith is the thing that has God work for us. See, pray, God, teach me by your Spirit about yourself. Because if our concept of God this week can line up with what the Bible says he is and what Jesus was, we are going to go home from this place changed. And fantastic things are going to happen to us in us, and they're going to happen around us, and they're going to happen through us. Because as soon as that happened, he says, as we see God as he is, so we become that way. And that's what God has in mind, right? See, to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now that's hard, because it's like changing a tricycle into an octopus. Or vice versa. I mean, there's a lot of changing. But that is the way it happens when we see God as he is. But we have to let the Spirit of God teach us and to enlighten our hearts and our minds, or it's not going to happen at all. So we're going to have a fun time here, and just put in your mind one thing. Tomorrow night, we're going to I'll give you 4 minutes, and that's plenty of time, to make out a list of what you would like to be doing or have accomplished in 3 months, if resources of any kind, time, opportunity, ability, any kind, were no problem. So you might start thinking some of the things. Tomorrow night we'll have time to write them down. Let's close in a word of prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are a God of love, and you're good, you're a provider, you're a counselor, you're just, you're holy, you're eternal. And every one of those things, we don't understand why you're that way. And we don't understand why you want to reveal yourself, but we know you have, because you sent Christ. And because you sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us and to teach us and to guide us into all truth and to lead us. And so we pray that your Holy Spirit would have complete control of our minds this week to teach us and guide us, and that we might be receptive and we might be willing to confess our pride as sin and our rebellion as sin and our unwillingness to be changed as sin. So your Spirit has an opportunity to work. But by faith, we thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do in each of us, because we know it's your desire that we be conformed to the image of Christ and that other people might see Christ in us. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.